On today's episode with Will, we're going to talk about the scoop on blockchain and why it's important to you and your business, how to sell your services to B2B companies, and how basketball makes Will a better entrepreneur.
Let's go!
This is the Blind Entrepreneur Podcast, where we help entrepreneurs and business professionals execute their vision by guiding them to profitability. Today, we have Will Luttrell. He is the CEO and founder of AminoPay. AminoPay addresses the problems of fraud, waste, and abuse in online advertising by bringing integrity, transparency, and auditability into that ecosystem. Will, how's your day going?
Day's going great. How's awesome. Your day going?
I can't complain. It's the Monday of all Mondays, so excited to get back to work for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So without further ado, before we begin and start asking all the heavy-hitting questions, I have to start the podcast off the same way we do every single time, and that is with an icebreaker. Imagine you just had the absolute best day of your life. Where are you going to eat, and what are you going to order in order to make your day complete?
I'm going to Morimoto's, and I'm going to order, I have my favorites on the menu. I basically order the same six things every time I go there.
Nice. Can you name them? I'm curious to hear the style that you're going for in sushi.
By sushi standards, it's pretty boring. So I have the, they do the yellowtail with the ponzu sauce and the jalapenos. Their rolls are amazing. The spicy, crunchy salmon roll. I have a salmon sushi. The ramen is also amazing for dessert.
Very cool. Good stuff. Love it, man. So, Will, without further ado, thank you for answering the icebreaker. Tell us a little bit more about you. Who are you and what is your story?
Wow. My story all the way from the beginning.
From birth to now. No, just the business stuff, the entrepreneurial journey.
Well, I think I was kind of forced into starting businesses. I grew up pretty poor in Kentucky. Managed to get a bunch of academic scholarships to the University of Kentucky, and wound up dropping out. So I was waiting tables, and someone came along who knew I was pretty good with computers. This is in the early 90s, and decided to give me a job making, I think, $27,000 a year as a software engineer. Me back then, I was able to afford a car, pay rent. That was for a big company. I lasted about a year there, and then I started on a series of startups, and founded my first startup in 99. The company I was with was a startup, and they moved me from Kentucky to New York City. That company went out of business, and so myself and my business partner at the time, Rodney Hook, decided we were either going to go back to Kentucky or we were going to start a company and stay in New York City. We'd only been there 3 months, and the company that moved us there went out of business. So we grabbed the largest customer they had, American Express. Just the two of us pretended we were a company. We knew nothing about running a business, nothing about paying taxes, nothing about anything. But somehow we managed to convince American Express that we were could pass technical due diligence. We were tested about 12 years. I left there after about 5 years. I left there about seven, but it continued on as a nice little lifestyle business. And then I co-founded Integral Ad Science in 2008. That company was also in online advertising, looking at fraud and brand safety and whether or not ads are actually viewed on the screen or not. I took that company from 300 to 300 people. That was my first kind of big success. I left there about 3 years ago, just in January of this year, I founded Amino.
Very cool. So let's talk about Amino. What does it do? How does it help people? It seems like there's a lot of correlation behind your background and what it is now with the aspect of ads and advertising and things like that. So can you speak to that a little bit?
It's the real explanation of it is it's very inside baseball. there are tens of billions of dollars in fraud, waste, and abuse in online advertising. So if you're a large like household consumer goods manufacturer and you want to try and reach your customers where they're spending more and more time online, if you put $1 million into an ad campaign, only about a quarter of a million of those of that $1 million is actually making it to its final destination, which is buying working media, buying that ad spot on the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or where the Jonathan happens to be. The rest of it is either outright stolen or siphoned away through this leaky little bites, little cuts through fraudulent or gray business practices. So our solution is to combine blockchain and ad tech and payments technology into one system where we give complete transparency of where that ad dollar is going from the time it's bought all the way down to the time it lands on the publisher's site. And to do that, we have to handle millions of microtransactions, each worth a fraction of a penny per second, and to apply a blockchain techniques to those. So it's a pretty wonky insider baseball kind of ad or tech play, but it's the technical demands are really strong. And frankly, if I didn't have the background that I do from integral ad science, I wouldn't even attempt it. It's there's a lot of complexity to it.
To those individuals who know absolutely nothing about blockchain, it's all in the news. Everybody's talking about it. Can you just give us like a quick rundown of what blockchain is and, you know, maybe why we should be so so careful with and understanding the importance of blockchain?
So blockchain is today where the internet was in 92. So people, just like trying to explain to someone what is the internet, it may be more useful to think of it as a new platform for innovation. So just like from the internet and web, www and, you know, the Internet of Things, and then secondary effects, like from the internet, from www, you got social networking and Twitter and Facebook. And then so it's a platform, and no one can predict today what the, you know, what the end killer apps are going to be. But blockchain is a distributed ledger in which everyone's identities are assured, and it's not, no one really owns it. It's a very democratic system, a platform upon which you can build technology. So the most commonly thought of technology when you think about blockchain is obviously cryptocurrencies. You know, people are buying into Bitcoin, and really the idea behind that is that I can give you a Bitcoin and then it can be validated by the ledger independently by everyone knows that I gave you a Bitcoin or an Ether or whatever. But other things that can be used for are share smart contracts. Like I can create a contract with you and put that on the blockchain. It can be used for identity management. It can be used for a whole host of things. And right now, we don't know what the killer thing is going to be that's going to really make blockchain amazing. We just know that there's a lot of there, and there are a lot of really smart people innovating, trying to figure out what to do with this new platform.
Yeah, very cool. Well, you know, as you grow your business and as you get the exposure that you have, I know that you've had a lot of recent success in obtaining funding and just growing your business from at an astronomically fast rate. So congratulations to you on that.
Thank you.
My question to you is obtaining your first 100 customers. One of the hardest things most businesses struggle with. What would you say has been your biggest success and techniques that you've used in order to grow your customer base?
Okay, so you know, we're a B2B company, so we're not going to be at customer number 100 for quite a while. Integral, which is you know, announced $100 million in annual revenues, probably took probably 3 years in. We were counting our 100th customer. So our customers are few, but they are large household name companies like T-Mobile is an early one. There's a large beverage company that's will be announced imminently. There are other large CPG and wireless companies that will be announced imminently. So while they're not many, they all spend billions of dollars annually online. in their advertising. So, but how do we grow customers? I think the number one thing is to identify who your customers are, which is not as easy as that sounds for a company like our buyer. Who are we going to see? And then figure out the messaging that speaks and the value proposition that speaks most clearly to them. For us, it was brands. Who are the brands? Types of brands. Really research our customers. Who spends, for example, Pepsi might spend $2 billion in advertising, but do they spend it online? Do they spend it programmatically in this ecosystem? It turns out the wireless companies spend a lot more than the soda companies online. So knowing your customers is key. And then figuring out the value proposition is going to speak to them clearest.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And it is extremely hard to do that, finding your customers and knowing them and in and out, et cetera. My question is, at that point, for B2B businesses that are listening, that are watching right now, was there any particular technique that you've used in order to grab their attention? Maybe it was like a particular strategy or sales approach in order to get the clients like, T-Mobile or like the soda company or the beverage company that you're going to be announcing relatively soon.
So with B2B companies, I think unlike B2C companies, you really, when you're talking about companies the size of T-Mobile or these large companies that we're talking about, you get one bite at the apple. So we actually undertook a process before we launched the company to sell it into the market a little bit. And in doing so, we were out to all the stakeholders, agencies, publishers. We got a lot of feedback. I actually had this idea last summer, but we didn't launch until January. It's because my business partner, David Bookspan, essentially forced me to go out into the market and solicit feedback on the idea. So when it came time to do our first actual pitch, we already were able to predict what the pushbacks were going to be. We'd already done our research and what the value propositions were going to be because we'd already listened before we started selling.
Okay, very cool. So that's important. So research, critical part of any business. Was it like a friendly phone call? Did you cold email? Did you know all the people that you knew that the basic foundation of customers that you were going after?
I'd say it was very important for this type of business. I already had an established network of friendlies who would give me this advice. We needed candid advice. We needed people to punch holes. We needed people to tell us what sucked about what we were talking about. And going back and looking at those early pitch decks that we were out there with, their feedback was tremendously helpful. We avoided a lot of traps and pitfalls by listening to that advice early on.
Very cool. Yeah, that was actually my next question, and you stole it. So did it help? And it seems like it did. So
absolutely.
Very good. Is there anyone in particular that you would like to meet in business to further help your business, your entrepreneurial career, and why would you like to meet that person? I know I'm putting you on the spot, but would love to hear that answer, especially because blockchain is such a new thing that's happening, and it's all the buzz.
Well, anyone that I would like to meet, I mean, just like an idol worship type of meeting. I'd like to meet Elon Musk. I think that he's the closest thing we have to Thomas Edison or Tesla. Or actually, he named his car the Tesla. I would like to meet him and figure out how he structures his day and his work habits. I think that he's the CEO of two companies, and he is then ideating on top of that. That's extremely impressive to me.
Yeah, very true. Well, that's actually a perfect segue to the next conversation, which is about your personal habits and about who you are as a person. Do you have any habits throughout your day that have helped you become more efficient throughout your workday?
I tend to ignore a lot of emails. I tend to read an email and then market unread. This is going to sound silly because it builds up a backlog, but I find that even though I've marked it unread, some part of my mind is still thinking about that email. And so if it's a sticky email that I don't have a quick answer for, or it's like a little politically sensitive, or it's going to take more thought, I can't just bang it out of reply. I mark it as unread and put and star it. And then I'll find that a couple of hours later when I revisit it, it'll seem much clearer and more obvious to me what the answer should be. And it can only be because I've actually been thinking about it without thinking about it in the interviewing time.
Okay. Now when it comes to business, you also have a couple of other habits that I'd like to tap into, and it's kind of like how we met, which is basketball. I'm curious to hear why basketball is such an integral part of your life at this point. I guess you could speak, because you do it all every week, every weekend. What is it about basketball that you absolutely adore and love?
I'm a competitive guy, and I also find fitness to be a really important part my makeup. I find that it gives me a certain self-confidence. If you're feeling good about yourself and about the way you feel, it impacts the way that you interact with everyone there, how you carry yourself, how it really, other people pick up on it. I think it's an important part of being a leader to take care of yourself. And that's what it gives me. It kind of shows a flaw of mine, a bit of a control freak. I would have happily, I joined a few months, and I hated the way that they were being put together. So I went out and decided to put one together myself, along with another local Philly guy, Corey Donovan, who has fallen off and sometimes participates with us. Shout out to Corey for helping me get it off the ground, though. And I do things like I cap the number of players. I have like different rules, the rules that I like, for the games. And it's been really successful. It's a really good time. I think everyone, it's been very popular amongst a certain group.
Yeah, no, and there's one text that I do look forward to and feel guilty about when I can't go. And it's a text from you every single weekend or week or so. I do appreciate the community behind it, and met a lot of really cool people. If you could compare your game, or maybe if you have a particular player in mind that is similar to your game, or is a player that you just absolutely love growing up, who was that player that you model your game after?
Well, the players that I love are not the players that I can be. I'm a 5'9" white guy with short arms. I actually have a decent vertical, but the lack of height and reach impact my ability to, play up high. So I guess my closest corollary would be somebody like Steve Kerr from the 80s Bulls. I let the athletic guys do their thing, and it's like I try to play good defense and then, hit a jumper. That's pretty much the extent of my game. And then I'll never be out-hustled. Like, I will work. It's gratifying for me being 44 is running around with a bunch of 26, 27, 30-year-old guys and still having gas left in the tank after an hour and a half, 2 hours of running when a lot of those guys are gassed. So I'm proud of that.
I can say you are a hustler at best. I mean, you there's nobody like diving on the floor and working their butts off harder than you when I played you in basketball. So if that's a true testament to who you are as an entrepreneur, there's so much more to come. I'm really excited to learn more all about it. Now, one of the last major questions that I have, the Blind Entrepreneur, this podcast was created for individuals who may be temporarily blind in business. They're stuck in a particular rut or headspace. So to those individuals, what are three pieces of advice that you would give to a fellow entrepreneur?
I've given this advice out a few times. And it is, number one, if you find yourself stuck, especially around the idea creation phase, or you're just at the beginning phases, give away half your company. I know it sounds weird, but find someone who is very good at the things that you suck at or does the things that you hate, and that you respect, that you would feel good being accountable to, and then give them 50% of your business. I did this with my partner, David, in the initial stages. He's good. He's connected in the fundraising world. He knows about deal terms. I know about ad tech and about the idea and how to build a company. He's also a reformed attorney, so he handles, he runs point on all of that. And then he's also just so he's strong where I'm weak and vice versa. My company is easily worth way more than double what it would otherwise be worth if I did not have him as a partner. So I have 50% of something that's bigger than if I had 100% of something that was smaller. And that's number one. And I give that piece of advice out to everybody that I find that wants to be an entrepreneur and that is stuck. Likewise, at Integral Ad Science, we were three very complementary co-founders, all with different skill sets. That kind of partnership works great. Now, you do have guys like Elon who can go out and just, build companies. And he's kind of seems like a bit of a solo act, but I guarantee you he's surrounded by geniuses all the time. So that's number one. Number two, find your own voice. I've had the benefit of being around a lot of amazing entrepreneurial types, business leaders. I've been on a lot of trips where like it was me and like six MBAs from Ivy League schools, and I'm a college dropout. So I found myself trying to imitate them and their styles. And then I found that what works for me best is learning from them, but then you do have to take all that learning and then create your own voice with it and then work on making your own voice better as opposed to imitating someone else's voice and approach. Finally, if you are building a company, if you're an entrepreneur, your company is your people. That will pay dividends throughout your career. There are guys that work for me today that I've known for 20, 30 years. It becomes more and more important later in life, and they all know because I've treated them well in the past, it's easier to make that call and for them to join on the next thing.
Very cool. Amazing advice. Will, you successfully completed the podcast, so congratulations to you, sir. The next 30 seconds is all yours. Go ahead and tell everybody about how they can learn more about you, be a part of your journey, and potentially become a customer.
Okay. Well, like I said, we're a B2B play. You can find our company at www.aminopay.com. And if you have any questions, I'm a busy guy, but I'm happy to respond to emails. Will@aminopay.com, W-I-L-L at aminopay.com. And always happy, especially local folks in South Jersey area. We're really big on this local ecosystem here. So happy to help, happy to do the podcasts, and excited to help, help you and other folks, help grow the ecosystem here in, Southeast PA. Cool, Jersey.
Well, I appreciate that. And it's an honor to speak to, I think it was like, were you in the 20s? Most influential person in Philadelphia?
We were 70.
70? Okay, sorry. Yeah. Next year's 20.
two of our investors were in the top 20.
Nice. Very cool. Good stuff. Well, thank you guys that are still watching and listening for always liking, commenting, and subscribing. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on YouTube and head over to theblindentrepreneur.com for more interviews. Being blind in business is temporary, and I hope after listening to the wisdom of Will, you are now able to see more clearly. Go out there and execute your vision. Have a good rest of your day. Thank you so much for watching this video. Don't forget to follow me on any and all social media platforms using the long last name above, followed by the letter J. If you want to get lost into the dark abyss of YouTube, click either left or right for another video. And finally, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. No, seriously, don't forget.